This podcast concerns Chapter 8, The Defences, and in particular the defence of ex turbi causa non orator actio. Whereas a claimant establishes a successful cause of action in tort, it is then open to the defendant to plead one or more of the defences available. You will have seen in Chapter 5 that the burden of establishing liability for the tort is on the claimant, whereas the burden of establishing the defence is on the defendant. Where, on balances of probability, a successful defence is established, the defendant's liability for the damage may be reduced, or he may be totally absolved from liability. The ex turbi causa non orator acto defence is commonly referred to as the illegality defence. The translation of the maxim ex turbi causa means that no action may be based on an illegal cause. This means that the court will not assist a claimant who has been guilty of illegal conduct because it would be an affront to public conscience to do so. To allow such claims might encourage others in illegal activities, and the courts are concerned to uphold the public policy that crime does not pay. In Pitts and Hunt in 1991, the claim arose from a joint illegal activity. The plaintiff had been a pillion passenger on a motorbike driven by the defendant as they were on their way back from a disco. They had both consumed large amounts of alcohol, and the plaintiff encouraged the defendant to drive his motorbike in a reckless fashion and to frighten other road users. In these circumstances, the defence of ex turpi causa was applied to defeat the plaintiff's claim. We will now look at a number of cases where it was only the claimant who was involved in the criminal activity at the time of the alleged tort. For example, in Valino and the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police in 2001, when the police arrived to enforce an arrest warrant on the claimant for failure to appear in court, he attempted to escape from their custody by jumping from a window of his second floor flat. As a result of the fall, he suffered severe injuries and claimed negligence on the part of the arresting officers, alleging that they had stood idly by and let him jump. In this case, the Court of Appeal held that the maxim of ex turbi causa made the claim untenable because Valino had to rely on his own criminal conduct in escaping lawful custody to found his claim. Clunas and Camden and Islington Health Authority, 1998, involved a claimant who had been detained in hospital for treatment of a mental disorder. In September 1992, the hospital had discharged him into the care of the Defendant Health Authority, and on December the 17th he stabbed a man to death. At the criminal trial, Clunas pleaded guilty to manslaughter on the grounds of diminished responsibility, and he was sentenced to be detained in hospital for an indefinite period under the Mental Health Act 1983. He then sued the health authority in damages for his loss of liberty, alleging that the authority had been negligent in discharging him and not providing adequate care. The health authority argued that, even assuming it had been negligent and that Clunas would not otherwise have committed manslaughter, damages could not be recovered for the consequences of the plaintiff's own unlawful act on the principle of ex turbi causa. The health authority's argument was accepted by the Court of Appeal, which held that a plaintiff who had been convicted of a serious offence could not, on grounds of public policy, sue a health authority for negligence in failing to treat him properly and thus prevent him from committing the offence. In 2009, the Clunas case was considered by the House of Lords in Grey and Thames Trains. In this case, Thames Trains was responsible for a serious rail crash in which the claimant, Gray, sustained only minor physical injuries but suffered severe psychiatric injury in the form of post-traumatic stress disorder. As a consequence of this mental disorder, Gray underwent a significant personality change which caused him to repeatedly stab a stranger to death. At the criminal trial for this offence, Gray's plea of guilty to manslaughter on the grounds of diminished responsibility was accepted, and, as with Clunas, he was ordered to be detained in a mental hospital under the Mental Health Act 1983. Gray then brought an action in negligence against the train company and track operators, claiming damages for 1. Loss of earnings after his detention, 2. Loss of liberty and damage to reputation, and 3. Feelings of guilt and remorse for the killing. Thames Trains admitted liability and negligence for damages up to the date the claimant had committed manslaughter, but argued that the policy ex turpi causa barred recovery for damages after that date. The trial judge at first instance ruled that since the claim was based on the commission of a serious offence by the claimant, the maxim ex turpi causa barred recovery for both loss of earnings and general damages in consequence of the killing. He concluded that the cause of action was inextricably bound up with the claimant's own criminal conduct, and the court could not permit him to recover damages without appearing to condone that conduct. In an appeal against the trial judge's findings, the Court of Appeal agreed that Gray was precluded from claiming general damages, but not loss of earnings. It was held that where the psychological depression suffered by a claimant as a result of the defendant's negligence led him to kill, a claim in negligence was not defeated by ex turpi causa unless the claim was inextricably bound up or linked to the claimant's criminal conduct. The Court of Appeal said that the question to be addressed was whether the relevant loss of earnings was inextricably linked with the claimant's crime. In concluding that the loss of earnings was not inextricably linked to Gray's criminal actions, he was entitled to compensation for loss of earnings after his arrest for the killing. However, in its appeal to the House of Lords against this finding, Thames Trains was successful. Their lordship ruled that Gray's conviction for manslaughter precluded a claim for loss of earnings during his detention by reason of the public policy expressed in the doctrine of ex turpi causa. Lord Hoffman said, "The maxim expresses not so much a principle as a policy. That policy is not based upon a single justification, but on a group of reasons which vary in different situations." The wider and simpler version was that you could not recover damage which was the consequence of your own criminal act. In its narrower form, it was that you could not recover for damage which was the consequence of a sentence imposed on you for a criminal act.